It's Thursday, March 12th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 100, Part 1. The runtime for this episode is 1 hour and 6 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where every week we play a new video game and then talk about it after we talk about the stuff we've been playing for like an hour, and we never get to a video game. Except for this week, because we've been doing this for 100 episodes!
Woo!
My name is Jeremy.
I'm a Centurion now. I'm Tyler.
I have decided I hate you both after all this time. My name is Zach.
Only just now? I thought you decided that years ago.
But what are we going to do without you, McCoy? I realize I am definitely
I'm not a
Kirk.
Doctor, Jim.
You're McCoy and you're Spock, and there's really no way around that.
That means you're dead.
No.
Yeah, he died this week.
I know. Yeah. It's sad. Leonard Nimoy is dead, kids.
It's sad.
R.I.P.
You were already dead before we started this podcast. And
I've debated going back and playing some Civ 4.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to hear Leonard Nimoy recorded for posterity?
I mean, I could just watch the YouTube clip of him going, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, and then be sad that they ripped it off and into darkness.
Did they?
Yeah, they reverse it. Kirk is in the reactor. Ooh. But then Kirk is fine because plot. The whole last half of that movie just falls all apart.
Well, if I hadn't known that that was going to happen, because I saw it somewhere else, I think you mentioned it, they talk about this regeneration crap, and I'm like, yep, that's going to come into play. It's a non sequitur. There's no reason for it to be there other than this to come into play later in the movie.
So, speaking of which, I mean, you guys are familiar with Chekhov's gun as
yes.
a
yeah,
concept.
That's the concept.
Have you guys seen Big Hero 6?
No. No, I want to really bad.
You should. I own it now, so...
Okay, I can steal it from you. Have you seen Lego Movie yet?
I haven't.
We should trade.
We should. So, at the beginning of the movie, I mean, I'm not sure if this is going to be too spoilery because it's an unfired gun.
Dude has where's my car? Has Chekhov's pudding. But anyway, go on.
So, at the beginning of the movie, there's like a thing where Baymax runs out of battery. And it's like a thing. And there are so many times where it would have been so inconvenient or so, like, interesting to the plot for him to run out of battery. Like, even at the end of the movie, there's a perfect moment where instead of running out of battery, he, like, gets hit by a truck or something. That's not actually what happens, but this... Anyway, moral of the story, they never play on it for the rest of the game, and the movie finished while we were in the theater, and Ed and I looked at each other like, that was a total Chekhov's dead battery. What happened there, guys?
Chekhov did not see the invention of batteries, and therefore...
We recently got it from Alex's coworker, Jace, who gave me the Xbox, actually. And we
so he's just using you as a dumping ground?
Yeah, pretty much. And we watched it last night, and they spend the first 15 minutes of that movie. I didn't realize how well they used that first 15 minutes. They set every single thing up that happens in the rest of the movie in that first 15 minutes. Which, you know, that's just good script writing.
Oh, yeah, and the first 5 minutes of The Dark Knight are a microcosm of that movie, but it's not to that level where everything is set up.
Okay, and I exaggerate a little. Not everything is set up, but they set up basically every major plot event throughout the movie in the first 15 minutes, and I didn't realize it the first time I watched it. I'm like, wow, that's actually really clever. Way to go, Disney, I guess.
The Disney animated films, like the last 3 years, have been really on point.
But they missed... I don't know. They had this Chekhov's dead battery, and I have been disappointed with it. There were so many places I could have used it. Anyway, speaking of Kirk dying in a reactor due to regeneration...
I mean, not due to regeneration, but he gets better later.
He gets better due to regeneration.
After, like,
he dies
Spock
due to radiation.
Ends up on a train chasing Khan. Oh, that is not a good climax.
I can't give you any spoilers, but Khan is the worst.
Yes, exactly.
Basically, I can't give you any spoilers, but Khan is a dick.
I've never actually seen Wrath of Khan.
I have.
Good. I've seen surprisingly little of the original Star Trek.
I think I've seen Wrath of Khan and Undiscovered Country, and that's it.
Quite a few people have looked at me and wondered how I haven't been a fan of Star Trek my whole life, given how much I like Battletech and stuff like that.
I mean,
like, when I first met Devin, he asked me, so, started talking about Star Trek, and I'm like, I have never seen a single episode of Star Trek. I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I've seen, like, the first 4 seasons or so of Next Generation, and that's the only, like, TV Star Trek I've seen.
Yeah, I think I've seen all of Next Generation, only because it was on when I got home from school every day.
That sounds like how I've seen basically every episode of MASH.
MASH? Why MASH?
Because my parents watch MASH.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A lot.
I mean, it was a popular show.
I actually like it. It's not a bad show.
I mean, I've heard it was good. It just was before my time, and I never had an opportunity to watch it, so...
It's really dated.
Okay.
It is quite dated now, but...
Man, I've watched some of the old episodes of Doctor Who, like the 70s run. Oh, the 70s. They were so bad.
I've been reading Atomic Robo because it's free.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Now he's making Doctor Who references. I am not. I don't even know who Tom Baker is. Who's Tom Baker?
That's excellent.
You should check it out if you like free comics about Tesla robots punching people.
I mean, that's a concept the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah. So, Tyler, what have you been enjoying for the whole family?
FTL? I actually picked up 7 Days to Die again recently. And I've been trying to do hardcore runs where if I die ever, I just say screw it and start the whole server over. And I'm on day 14 of my, I think, 9th attempt at this.
You have like a sweet base?
I do, actually. I was like living in a burnt out, like suburban style house next to a gas station for a little while. And Alex is like, hey, I saw like a cliff back there that had like a roundness in it. You could probably build like a house into the side of the cliff. I'm like, so like, you know, a miniature version of Helm's Deep. And she's like, yeah, kind of like that. Just watch out for the exploding zombies. I'm like, okay, good point. So I went around looking for this theoretical land structure she claimed to have seen. It did not appear to exist. I think I saw it in one of the previous lives I had lived. But in the process of this, I found like a little like pirate cove thing.
Ah, sweet.
That had like two really narrow entrances that you could theoretically shove a lawn boat through.
Be careful, there might be an assassin living there.
There might be. Well, I am now, so I guess there is.
I can't think of his name.
Edward Kenway?
Yes. Because he totally... he totally gets his own pirate cove. Sorry, continue.
Before I picked up 7 Days, I'm like, man, what game should I play? Because I've kind of burned out on Payday because I haven't been able to play online with anyone recently. So I put Assassin's Creed on my wish list so that whenever it goes on sale, I can get it.
You like Uplay, right?
Anyway, I actually, at making today's show notes, I have a rant about Uplay on there. So anyway, so I found this like awesome little pirate cove and it like goes back and it's got deep water and zombies can't swim in this game. They just walk on the ground under the water. So I chopped down probably an entire forest and built myself like a little floating cabin thing in the back corner and like delved into the rock wall to have all my items there in case exploding zombies come by. And I now have like a sweet little like cabin thing in the back edge of a pirate cove covered with spikes because zombies will definitely walk off the top of the cliff and fall onto my house.
Wow, that sounds really inconvenient.
It is until I put spikes on the roof.
What you should do instead is you deal with your items, but then you shove off from the cliff and just float in the middle of this pirate cove. That way they can't fall on top of your house.
It's not particularly deep or wide. And my house actually takes up the entire width of it. It's not actually, like, free-floating. It's just built right on top of the water. But I have, like, a little submarine-style thing I can go down under, mostly so I can get water. But I'm like, you know, it would really suck if I got stuck in here, because there's really no way for me to get out. Because, like, the entire ground leading up to the house is covered with spikes, so that zombies, when they swim towards me, swim through spikes. The top of the house is covered with spikes. And really the only way I have is to, like, swim over the horde of zombies in front of the house if I have to, which is probably bad for my health. So I've been digging an underwater tunnel under my house to come up into, like, a little, like, death cave inside of the cliff face behind my house that you have to swim underneath the house to get to. That's been fun. But I've also been playing FTL, because FTL's awesome. I have apparently not beat the game with all the ships yet, and I think I've yet to beat the game on normal. So
normal's pretty hard.
It is.
But not as hard as hard.
I'm actually on a pretty decent run right now. I'm doing the version of the Kessel that starts with 4 single-fire lasers.
That's a really good ship. Are you on normal?
Yeah.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, I've made it to Sector 5 already.
Do it for Leonard Nimoy's memory.
Yes, because he would have totally been a fan of FTL. Oh, he might have been, actually. I have no idea.
Bilbo Baggins. Anything else?
More Fire Emblem.
How far in that are you?
I haven't played it much recently because I really am dreading trying to do the level that I'm on again. Because I failed the first time. It's the One, it's like a snowy fortress, and there are a bunch of casters with like 9 range spells or something like that.
Yeah,
what level?
It's 21.
No, what level are your other guys? Because I have a feeling that you're doing one of the alternate levels.
Maybe it wasn't presented as a side quest.
No, it's not a side quest. It's based on that one, I think, is the level of whether or not your casters are higher level than your melee champ or melee character.
That is definitely not the case. So.
Because
Hector just became a great lord. So, he got a bigger axe.
Yes, he does.
And bigger armor.
My breastplate feels bigger now.
Because I did that level before we did this. And the level I did didn't have any casters with 9 range spells.
Ah.
And also, you don't have any Pegasus Knights, right?
No, I've got Fiora and Florina.
Okay, trained.
No, not really. I mean,
do you have some pure water?
Yeah.
If you have some of that sitting around, it's pretty useful.
I've only got 3. I feel like I'm going to have a really hard time with this one. My problem with it is I can't even get in through the front door without getting pelted on the way up there. So
each of those spells only has 5 uses.
Oh, does it? That makes it a lot more...
Bolting only has 5 uses before it's done.
I picked up, I think it was Eclipse in the Desert, based on, like, one of the NPCs is like, there's something good buried near the bones. I'm like, hey, Canis, go find some stuff by the bones. And he's like, hey, I found this sweet book, guys. I'm like, good. Hold on to that. Never use it.
Yeah, all of those spells that have long distance have use 5. Okay. You only get, like, 2 of them.
So, maybe I can just sit there and tank, like, send someone with a fairly high resistance and
Hector and Oswin.
Or just Pegasus Knights.
So I wasn't bringing Oswin because it doesn't have a particularly high resistance.
That is true. But he has some HP.
HP tank.
Okay, that is true. And Hector because he's Hector.
Although Dodge is usually pretty good against those because they have low accuracy, which is another reason why Pegasus Knights are good. They get hit for like 6 if they do get hit.
And they've got decent resistance.
And you can, you can look at it and say, okay, well, here's the maximum range. I'm going to have my guy stand there.
And just tank
it. Tank it. Heal him. Tank the next shot. And do that, because those spells can't crit.
That is... Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, that's actually a good idea. It hadn't occurred to me to just... I didn't realize that the computer's uses of items would run out. I don't know.
Most of them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
because
like,
they
most
have
of them
such
don't
high
ever
use.
Live long enough that it...
Yeah. But those spells, 5 times, they're done.
So, okay. Now that I have a strategy in mind, I was actually going to ask you guys about that, because you've both played the game before, so...
I don't remember that level being particularly hard, but... It's been a while since I played that particular game all the way through.
I didn't get super far. I mean, I killed like 3 guys in like a little shed next to the main building. And in the process, I accidentally lost Priscilla. I'm like, wow, that was stupid of me. I shouldn't have had her right there. And I turned the game off and haven't started it up since then.
So. Okay, yeah. That sounds like Fire Emblem.
Update is because I think you're going to get Carol instead of Harkin.
I don't know who either of these people are. So
Carol is a swordmaster. Harkin's a hero.
Is that the upgraded... Mercenary?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He can use axes.
Oh, boy.
And sometimes you need 2 people with axes.
Oh, and I finally...
3, because you'd have Oswin.
I forgot how support worked, and I finally remembered, like, just randomly. And I'm like, oh, man, I should totally have these people standing next to each other, so I've been bringing Dart on missions.
Ah.
Because...
Why?
Because I like Rebecca.
She can support other people.
I know, but he's...
She can totes Mary Will.
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're archers. We have so much in common.
We're both like shooting people in the face.
We're both poor people that went along with super rich people to join their army.
At the very least, if you can get an Earth Seal and get Dart leveled up, he turns into a Berserker.
And Berserkers are pretty ridiculous. So
yeah, because you can only get 2 at max.
And Dart?
Yeah. And Dart's so crap, no one's going to ever promote him to a Berserker.
Dart is okay. There's nothing really wrong with him. It's just
Except for
a matter
the fact
of
that Hector exists.
Yeah, as a matter of axe users in that game aren't particularly great.
I mean, what else would he use the Earth Seal on, though?
Earth Seal can promote anyone.
Including lords?
No. That's okay. The only exception.
Casters, because you only get like 2 or 3 guiding rings.
That is true. I've got
If you're using multiple archers,
Orion's Bolt.
I
honestly
think
I have enough
2
for
Orion's
all.
Bolts. But
I have at least 2 on me right now.
Well, you get
3,
and then including Wrath.
I mean,
you'd have to pick. Wrath. If you want to promote all of your Cavaliers.
Which no one does because Loen.
I think he actually has the highest defense of the Cavaliers.
He might, but he's got that hair in his eyes and can't hit anything.
Mine's pretty accurate.
Yeah, no, Loen was actually pretty decent early on, but I had Marcus at the point where it mattered. And then after that, it didn't matter that I had a Cavalier anymore until I got people who were not them.
I thought we warned you not to use Marcus.
Only for like 2 levels. I had to go save Urk.
Yeah, sometimes he has to go rescue people. Usually I sit him by the caravan and they can support each other.
I take his weapons away.
Yeah, so do I. So he can tank.
That's actually something they keep meaning to do every time I start a level, is everyone who's not in my party just take their items and give them to the merchant. But I never do that because I'm lazy and that takes forever.
Oh, later games have an auto do that, which is useful.
I really wish this game had that.
There are a lot of things that this game lacks that later games added.
It's still a lot of fun, though. I really
it's really good. All right, anything else?
Yes, but I can't remember what it is, so.
All right, so when we get around to me, you'll remember what it was.
So, Zach, begin reminding Tyler what he's
All right, so,
playing.
Tyler, you've been playing
Payday.
I have no idea. I have been playing Payday.
I'm level 98. I'm about to go Infamous again.
Congratulations. I kind of petered out on that for a while, so I haven't been playing it. I've been playing a lot of League. I've played 2 ranked games so far. I won the first one where I was allowed to be on a carry role, which is in keeping with my ranked history. If I'm on a carry role, I tend to do well, and my team wins. But
I feel like a carry role should be like a type of role with like some sort of seed on it. A
little bit, yeah. Pretty delicious. Been playing a lot of that. Been playing some Space Hulk Ascension.
Oh, that was it. I was going to say, you've been playing some random game on Steam.
Well, a while back, I think like the first 2 weeks I was on this podcast, I mentioned I'd gotten Space Hulk.
Yeah.
This is that game, but they added more to it. Like, this is basically a sequel, bigger and better.
It's an Ascension, if you will.
Because they added RPG elements, so your Marines gain levels and can get better. There's more levels. There are different levels than just in the game. They made it more video gamey than just translating the board game. Additional chapters, weapon, you know, they just did a lot of it. And so I'm like, oh, this is on 55% off sale. I'm going to buy it because why not? And damn you, Steam. So that one, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's a hard game. I failed a tutorial level in it.
Wow.
Yeah. I failed the tutorial level because my flamer died. I failed the first level, I think, 3 times.
Excellent. Sounds like a fun game.
Yeah. Every Marine has a certain number of action points that they can do. So you take the amount of action points, which is generally like 4 or 5, and then subtract 2, and that's the amount of actions you can take in a turn.
Why do you have to subtract 2?
Because that's how much it costs to go into Overwatch. Because the way the system is set up, Gene Stealers constantly spawn and try and kill you. Gene Stealers have no range, so they have to charge down these corridors to reach you. And so you put a Marine in Overwatch watching down these corridors, it makes it much harder for them to get to you and kill your Marines.
Do you, like, get an extra chance to fire when they come into range, or...?
You, on their turn, when they're moving, your guy will keep shooting at them until either his bolter jams, they kill him, they get in melee with him, and he has to punch them to death, or they run out of ammo.
Okay.
So they'll keep firing as long as something is moving in squares, because it's a grid-based system. And literally, it has punched them to death, because they have power fists. And so, one problem I have with it is when you deploy your Marines, there is no, okay, I deployed everybody, and now I hit go. You deploy somebody, and that your first turn is starting now. And so I deploy everybody, and then hit end, because that's ingrained. End turn, or not end turn, but like end my deployment, and so I'll start the game. So I lost my first turn, so Gene Stealers would spawn to make things a little bit more difficult. And then I just eventually get killed because, you know, I'm trying to fire and move and, you know, get my guys to a certain position, but they would, you know, run out of ammo. I'd get pinched off. A guy would get jumped from behind because if something comes up from behind them or on their side, they can't fight back and they die.
That's why you have Private Johnny at the rear because he's expendable.
Except none of these guys are expendable because they're Terminators. They're the best of the best.
They're the best at what they do. And what they do is get killed by Gene Stealers.
Exactly. And then on top of that, like, you can't have your whole squad shooting at somebody at the same time, because if they're moving down a hallway, a Marine behind another Marine can't see over him.
Okay.
And so you can't have them do that. The few times in which I have been able to line my guys up and walk down a hallway, Gene Steer walks around the corner, and there's just a hail of bolter rounds going downrange. And so that, it works really well. The balance is really nice. Gene Steers do have a couple of advantages to make up for the fact that they don't have range. They can use vents that you can't actually use to get
to places.
I seem
to remember that's part of the board game, too.
But. Yeah. I don't think they had the same vents thing, but you can have your flamer put some fire in there, and they can't use it while the fire is there. Flamer works good for zoning, but it's a very powerful weapon, but it can't go on Overwatch, and it has only 6 shots per game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it's like, I fire my roasty toasty on this area here, and nothing can go over it while the fire's there.
Does he have, like, a backup weapon, like a bolt pistol or something? Nothing? Wow.
Nope.
Okay.
That's like a lore thing, is that Terminator weapons tend to be hard locked onto them because of how big the weapons are.
Okay.
Or how big the suits are.
So they're part of the armor.
Yeah, they don't really, well, they're not part of the armor, but they don't really have manual dexterity, so they can't carry bolt pistols.
Okay.
Because of how large the hands are. I mean, you've seen the power fist. It's huge. So that one's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I said it's hard, but it's a lot of fun. I usually fail one level at least, or every level at least once before I get it right. Which, I don't know why this one I like for that, but others I don't. I don't know. Then playing some Agorist 2, which is a game I enjoy. I don't care as much for the combat system.
Because they changed it from the first one?
Yeah, they changed the combat system to be more real-time-ish, but not.
Is it like, I guess you haven't played Final Fantasy VI. Because I don't like how real-time, but not that is.
Well, you have buttons?
I don't like active time battle.
You have to hit buttons. It's still a turn-based system. But then you hit buttons to trigger your abilities. And so combos are a little weirder to pull off.
Okay.
And I'm having a hard time describing how it works, but
I think I've played games that have similar-ish mechanics, but
whereas instead of Agorist 1 and Agorist 0 use the same system where you'd queue everything up and then things would happen. It was really handy for finding out random combinations. Like, I'm going to put, you know, this guy with burst hit and this power attack right next to each other, and then you'd find out that it does power burst or whatever it was.
Power burst!
I don't think it was actually called
Star
that.
Star bursts!
Like, they had all those things together and all that kind of thing. I kind of like my main character. It has a weird starting point in which your main character kills a god, then you kind of screwed.
Wait, you start the game with Deicide?
Yes!
Where do you go from there? I mean,
apparently you...
That's like the end goal of all Shinten games. So.
Apparently you just screwed over the whole universe and now you gotta fix it.
So as good as the Super Robot Wars start, where you start at high school and like, I want to pilot the robot with the hot girls.
No, not quite that good. But they have this weird animation thing because they have the standard, you know, two people show up on screen like Fire Emblem.
Okay.
For their cutscenes. None of the dialogue's translated, by the way.
Wait, it's still in Japanese?
All the words are, like, not... All the voices are still in Japanese. They didn't translate that.
That's a singer.
They've been doing that with the Dynasty Warriors anime games, too.
Wait, so they're basically subtitled?
Yeah.
I actually prefer it that way on it. It depends on how good a voice acting studio you can get to do the translation, because some of them are pretty good. Some of them are so mind-numbing, like, they make my ears bleed listening to them.
Ha 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 ha!
That's not actually that bad. I don't mind that. There's this weird uncanny valley that they animated those... So, like, it looks like they're breathing. And I don't have a problem with that, you know, because they're a little bit more 3D than the other ones were. They look a little bit more anime-inspired, I mean.
Okay.
The part I don't understand is why when some of the characters do very little in their animation, you know, like, they nod once, and you start getting bounces.
Because it's a DOA.
I had Kevin and Cody on comms at one point when I was playing this, and we were just talking. And when the first time that happened, one of the characters like went like that, and then just started bouncing. I'm like, why is that even in here? That makes no sense. But I'm enjoying the game a lot. I like my main character. I like the characters that are with me. It's kind of the same one I had with the other game. There's one character I don't like, but big surprise. There's always at least one.
Stupid archetypal anti-hero.
But I enjoy the game so far. I mean, the main character reminds me a lot of the main character in the first game. The first of the main characters, I mean. My personal favorite of them.
So, speaking of anime-style drawings, I saw a, like... So you know how, like, as an animation shortcut in anime, when people are talking, they'll often just have, like, a hole on their... Like, they'll draw a head, and then they'll have, like, a hole on their mouth move instead of, like, actually moving the chin. I saw one of those where, like, a girl was talking in profile, and, like, her lips were over here, and the hole was, like, over here. And they someone had photoshopped a picture of an actual girl at the same angle with that.
Yeah, I've seen that, too. I think I know what you're talking about. That's how this game does a lot of it, of the animation, too, because it's very anime is what it is. Like I said, you start off with Deicide.
Clearly, that's anime.
Yeah.
Although, I can't think of any other, like, other than, like, Norse mythology things where people just go around killing gods, other than, like...
Nietzsche?
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't kill God, he proved God was dead. He declared God dead, he was the mortician.
Then, I actually went and saw a movie.
What?
It was a Kingsman?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I go see movies.
Wait, what?
Once in, when was Avatar out?
Like 3 years ago.
No, it was longer than that.
Yeah, it's not that old.
Kingsman, it's the movie, the action movie they dumped in February because it was R, and they didn't think it was going to do very well, so they purposely released it the same week as 50 Shades of Grey, hoping that boys would take their girlfriends to 50 Shades of Grey and go see Kingsman. It was getting really good reviews, and it's
I liked
a good movie.
It. I liked it a lot.
Heard of it, so.
Yeah, it's based on a comic.
It does suffer from a lot of the same problems you have with origin stories.
Because it's an origin story
of
a dude.
It's an origin story.
But it has Samuel L. Jackson as the bad guy.
Yeah,
that makes
and he has a lisp.
Samuel L. Jackson with a lisp as a villain?
Yes.
Yes.
It's fantastic. But, like, your main character is doing training for 90% of the movie. I mean, that's what I mean by the origin story problem.
See, like every good Disney movie, you should just have a musical number that's 3 minutes, and then the training is over. You need a montage is what you need.
But
so
I
like
I
the training
it.
Thing to Mulan.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing explicitly.
And then
I feel like Aladdin has one too, but now I'm trying to think of it, and I don't think it does.
And vaguely related video game news: I had to clean out my room.
Did you find a sweet copy of some?
I
video
found
game?
Metal Walker.
I don't even know what that is.
I assume it's a mech game based on the name, but
long time ago on this podcast, I mentioned a robot type game that I had on my Game Boy that I couldn't think of the title of it. Remember when I said Scavenger Hunt, Tyler?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I have all sorts of nifty things set in place for, like, back propagation of old episodes. This is not one of them. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but that's the game I was talking about at the time.
Okay.
If anybody ever cares to go back and find it, I'll give you 50 LTDOVG points.
We need to start having those be redeemable for prizes.
Oh, we need a shop with, like, a sweet t-shirt.
But then in the same time frame when I was cleaning up my room, I found something fairly cool in my room. That I forgot I even own.
Piece of ice?
No.
An ice pack. Ah.
Oh man, that's an original brick.
Yes.
I don't think I have my brick anymore.
I didn't even know I owned this.
It's got a Pokemon Blue in it.
My Pokemon and my copy of Pokemon Blue, yeah.
The battery is probably dead.
Nope.
In the Pokemon Blue, I mean.
Nope.
Oh, lucky you.
It still saves.
For those of you who can't see, Zach's Game Boy screen just fell off.
That was a lot more stable earlier.
Although they've got that one at the Smithsonian that survived a grenade that is currently playing Tetris all day. They've got it like a robotic arm in there having playing Tetris on the Game Boy.
This might. So I was looking at it to see if I could actually sell it, but if that thing fell off, it's probably not going to be worth as much as it was.
I mean, why would...
Also, Game Boys are worth like $2. They were pretty well produced.
I was actually looking on Amazon. A lot of them were sitting on it for like $40, $50.
Okay, so about what they sold for originally.
Well, I can make that value. Off of it, what else is it going to do?
Play Pokemon Blue.
Yeah.
I know. The problem in air quotes and the reason that Game Boys don't have much resale value is Nintendo is really good about making their handhelds reverse compatible.
Or with, I'm surprised they haven't done this with Pokemon yet. Now with the 3DS allowing the download, or
virtual console. I think the reason Pokemon hasn't gotten it is they just prefer to remake them.
I find that unfortunate, but oh well.
Yeah. I feel like the remakes are good quality.
So speaking of which, I've heard the new 3DS's 3D rendering works way better than the old one.
I've heard that too. I also don't want to spend $200 on a console for one that also works.
No, I'll wait for the price to go down. But the it has head tracking, and I've heard that it just works.
I don't use my 3DS enough. Like, I use it for Fire Emblem and stuff, which is why I bought it in the first place. But the new Fire Emblem is going to be should be compatible on the old 3DSs because it's.
Yep.
That's what Nintendo said. It's for the whole family of 3DSs, so it should work. So, which is
no a game to make me upgrade has to come out, and I don't know what that's going to be.
I mean, Monster Hunter 4. I like Monster Hunter.
I don't care about Monster Hunter games. If I wanted to play Monster Hunter, I'd buy Evolve.
They're very, very different
games.
Not
at all the same.
I have the Wii U Monster Hunter.
You are hunting a monster in Evolve, but. And though, actually, Monster Hunter is kind of like if WoW had real time controls. There's a lot of grinding.
Napping now.
Yeah. It's definitely not for everyone.
It's closer to an MMO than Evolve, by a lot. Anything else, Zach?
Badoof!
I think I'm second place in a fantasy league.
Probably. I'm tied for last with Tyler, and we're kung fu fighting for the right to be second to last right now.
I think I'm probably...
You're ahead.
I think I might lose this week. Yeah, that's it. Though I haven't actually been playing that much. I've been playing those three games almost exclusively. I want to play more Payday, but I just haven't felt in the mood.
All right, well... I haven't been playing much either. I wanted to play a tower defense, So I downloaded Warcraft 3 and played Wintermaul and beat it on my own for the first time twice.
Excellent.
And I was like, man, this game isn't very good. I'm sad. Then, because I was downloading old RTSs, I found this game called Fate of the Dragon that I had the demo for in 2002.
I've never
on
even
Archive.
Heard of it.
It's a RTS based on the Three Kingdoms.
Okay.
It's got a lot of mechanics I thought were cool when I was a kid, but realized they're terrible mechanics for an RTS.
Like what?
You only train one unit, which is peasants, and then you send them to, like, the sword school to become a sergeant with a sword, or the bow school.
So, kind of like evolving Zerglings.
Kind of ish, but you have to send them to the building. And then it's got like a, your town has a map, and then there's a central map that goes to all the other towns.
Oh, okay. God, that sounds like a pain in the ass.
It's really cool, but it kind of is for control. And you hire heroes at the inn named Lu Bu exclusively because he's the best.
Nonsense. You hire, if somebody else hires Lu Bu, you hire Guan Yu.
Oh, okay. Guan Yu's pretty good. He has that sweet beard. Cao Cao, maybe.
Sweet beard, bro.
So I played a little bit of that. Did not find it too much to my liking. More Fallen London. I totally messed up my archaeological dig and wasted like 50 turns and was sad.
I'm carving out a reputation at court currently.
And then you gave me a heist to go steal some coins.
I need
that
some
I
coins.
Also messed up.
I was wondering why I didn't get coins out of it.
I messed it up at the last possible second. I'm like, 70% chance. That's pretty good. Oh, I was caught. I guess I have to plan again. Oh, wait. No, I don't have that option. No coins for Tyler.
Did you get the cryptic clues out of it? Because I had to spend 400 cryptic clues in order to send that to you.
I don't think I did. I got some stuff out of it, but...
Okay.
There was definitely like a consolation prize.
That sounds like how things usually go for heists.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we're good. We're good. We're good. Last possible second.
Well, my archaeological dig was worse because I would have won, but I clicked the wrong option because I was tired. I was doing my turns before bed, so they wouldn't be wasted. And I clicked the wrong one. I'm like, I clicked the wrong one, didn't I?
That's
now
really
I
rough.
Lose and get nothing. Ah, oh,
that's man. Rough. What were the different options?
Confront your rival, concede to your rival.
And you conceded.
Yes. I was like, this belongs in a mew. Oh, okay.
I'm in the process of, I think I'm writing poetry now. I've composed a symphony, written a novel, composed like a choral music thing. And a ballet.
That's probably what I'm going to do next, but I want to become a scholar of the correspondence so I can go to the university.
That does sound like a good idea. Also, I'm currently living at like the observatory base where there are roaming fungi who can come and attack you at night.
I was living there for a while. I'm living in a house above a gambling den right now.
I considered buying that one instead, but then I didn't. Also, I found out that the best way to make money in that is sell your 5,000 items you're never going to need and just buy the stuff you need.
But what if I need them later?
You can just buy them. I have
considering selling them for a while.
I sold off all my stuff that I had over 1,000 of, and I've got like 300 echoes now.
The thing is, you can also use 1,000 of a thing to get the next thing up, about 100 of it.
Oh, really?
In your inventory. So that's why I haven't been doing that.
I didn't know that.
Well, how I usually do stuff like that, in, for example, XCOM, is I usually sell off items that I am not sure if I'm going to need, down to 25.
Well, 25 would not be enough in this game, but that's just a matter of quantity.
Yeah,
that's definitely what you're intended to do, but like, I think it's just that I kind of want to do everything in this game.
Yeah.
And so you need everything to do everything, basically.
Well,
if I was more focused on like one thing, that would be a good idea.
I've started being more focused, although I'm definitely doing a bunch of watchful stuff that I'm not super good at because I'm not that watchful.
Yeah, well, I started persuasive, but I've gotten more watchful, and I think since you have the persuasive stuff and are talking about that, I'm just gonna focus on watchful. And no one will do shadowy or dangerous things.
I'm also pretty shadowy. I'm almost as shadowy as I am watchful. I'm not at all dangerous, though. People look at me and they're like, you're about as dangerous as a marshmallow. I'm like, get me a wine, wench, and they're like, okay.
I don't know why that made me think of a Red's Apple Ale commercial.
Get me a wine wench or a dangerous marshmallow?
No, wench.
Okay.
Because the knight has his faceplate drop down and says, get me a wrench. And a girl comes over.
And then he goes, not a wench.
He says, just get me a... I said a wrench.
Okay.
They wouldn't say wench in a commercial.
Why?
It's a bad sh word.
Bad sh word?
Bad sh.
Honey, bad sh don't care.
No, we don't. And then my Dragon Ball Z infatuation continues. So to state my urge, I bought Dragon Ball Xenoverse and regretted it very quickly.
Why?
Because it's not... Oh, I can't do Gilbert Godfrey.
It's not a good game on the base level. Like, not nearly as good as the last Dragon Ball Z game I bought, which was in 2007. But I got Tenkaichi 2. On top of it just base not being a good game, the controls are...
I've heard they're a little wonky.
Yeah, they're just not intuitive. And then it made all these mistakes that I thought video games stopped making in, like, 2004.
Autosave?
No, that... Well, it has that, but I'm not like, oh, autosave. No! No, my precious Dragon Ball Z! I was gonna save scum this. it's one of those games where you don't have a menu. So if you want to verse, you have to load up into the world, go to the verse door, go hit X, load the verse menu, tell the guy, yeah, I want to play verses.
I kind of understand why they tried that, but that's a bad idea.
Again, I thought in 2004 we figured out we shouldn't do this. So let's say I want to play a quest. I have to go to the quest zone, say, hey, I'd like to play a quest, choose the quest, get the loading screen. Let's say I then win and want to play that quest again, or lose and want to play that quest again. I have to respawn, go to the quest area, say, hey, I'd like a quest.
There are like three loading screens in between because you spawn in not the
And
same
there's no retry
the map.
Option.
Did you buy it too, Tyler?
I've been watching a Let's Play that Team 4Star is doing.
Oh. Well, I just looked at it. That looks like terrible. So
that
it's
looks
not
like
terrible. It's just bad. And also, the way quests, it's very grind heavy, which bleh. But to make things worse, drops are random in quests, which, okay, that makes sense. And every quest has a list of random drops. But quests also have a, like, secret boss. You have to fill conditions to get the secret boss, but then whether or not he spawns is random, even when you do the
really?
Conditions. And then dumb. Whether or not he drops the thing you want is random. So if he doesn't, you have to respawn at the center of town, go to the quest area, take the quest to get... it's just...
That sounds horrible.
It's really bad. And, like, the thing I bought it for, Takahata 101's voice, like, you start with just the lamest moves, so he doesn't even say things for them. Like,
try hard Kamehameha!
Like, my current special is shoot a guy a bunch. With blasts. And it's also really, like, I don't want to say inaccurate, but whether or not it hits is really funky.
I noticed that in the Let's Play, is that he uses that about half the time when things are far away from them. And it misses about half the time he uses
Yeah, and
so.
I can't find any consistent reason why it misses or hits.
I think it's just bad programming.
Yes, it feels that way. Also, the special moves don't do nearly as much damage as just punching stuff, which is fine, whatever, but Dragon Ball Z, the special moves are
kind of
what should be the focus.
Thing. That may change once you get better special moves.
Hope it does, but yeah.
So you get to create a character in that, though.
Yes.
So Team 4Star is currently playing a gray Majin Buu, except he's about 2 feet tall, wearing bright pink and green, and he's named Dumplin, and one of the guys playing them is voicing him as Gilbert Godfrey.
The other thing is that people drop equipment, so I have, like, Gohan's shirt, Piccolo's sweet cape.
Is it actually called Piccolo's sweet cape?
I think
cape?
It's called Piccolo's weighted clothing with cape.
I really wish it was called Piccolo's sweet cape.
If you equip that, not only do you look more clown shoes because you have Piccolo's shirt, but like Goku's pants, they also affect your stats. So they have the World of Warcraft problem that World of Warcraft has fixed, where you are incentivized to dress like a clown.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I do like when games include create a character modes. I do like create a character.
Create a character is mandatory. Like, because you can't go to Versus unless you have your character made.
And the options aren't super varied, but they're all right.
Like, okay, this is a Dragon Ball Z problem. Saiyans are the only ones who can transform.
Yeah.
And that's when you have...
Not even Frieza's race can
transform.
Yeah, you
have Majin and Frieza race. Why can't Frieza race transform?
That's like
why
his
is
thing.
Frieza race...
So, like, going Super Saiyan?
Yeah, you can go Super Saiyan and Super Saiyan 2. But if you're an Earthling, that's it. Which is fine, they're Earthlings. If you're a Namekian, that's it. Kind of lame, but again, okay. But Majin and Frieza race! And Frieza race is stuck as Frieza's first form. So you're just like a short dude without a hover chair.
Literally all the people of that race we have ever seen have had the ability to transform.
And King Cole didn't, but presumably he could.
Yeah, presumably he had the ability.
How do you know he didn't?
He just died.
Maybe not on screen.
I was going to say, maybe he did it off screen after he died.
I'm excited for the new movie, though, with Frieza's new transformation.
He transformed
into a corpse.
Well, I was going to say from one King Cold into two King Colds.
No, he gets shot in the stomach.
Oh, does he?
Frieza gets chopped in half.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I saw that.
And the cooler comes down, and he's like, I want to kill the guy who killed Frieza. And Goku's like, eh. Although that actually happened before then, so never mind.
But again, super excited for Battle of F, where Frieza's like, I've never trained in my life. Time to train. Get me a gravity room. Hell, we'll see if any stupid Saiyans can beat me after I do push-ups and 100 times gravity.
Afterwards, she's like, wow, this is actually a lot easier than I anticipated to be. 1,000 times gravity!
So I'm looking forward to that, and that's all I've been playing.
We were talking last week about shooting a guy who then shoots death balls.
Yeah, that would be great.
This is my Frieza cannon.
Frieza cannon! All right, so should we get to this list, guys?
We should.
Okay, so in the vein of things like every story ever and the list of the best things of all time and the Ranger Danger creature feature, we're going to rank all the video games we've played thus far. So probably take 2 or 3 episodes. We went kind of long with what we've been playing, so maybe 3. All right, so are you guys ready? Zach will probably be quiet for the first 12 because he didn't play them.
That's cool. I mean, you can weigh in on them.
I'll probably be quiet for most of this because I just generally am a very quiet person.
Oh, well, details.
All right, so, Shyler, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay! Starting off with the first game we played and didn't
game
record a...
set! Okay, sorry.
We're starting off with the first game we played and didn't record a podcast for, which was Mega Man.
I mean, we did a bonus episode over
eventually,
a couple beers.
Eventually, we did. Yes, we didn't drink for Mega Man.
Didn't
we did that in the basement when Zach was sick. The other two we drank for.
Okay.
And then Alex came home really drunk.
Good times. Anyway, I think Mega Man was better than Mega Man. So
yeah,
I think it should be at the top of the
problem
list.
With Mega Man is it's wins by default. When it's a pretty good game. I think it will stay pretty high up for a while. But
so, I mean, what do we play after that? Kirby? The
Kirby's
Puffball
Adventure.
Of Doom?
Game that's got a lot going on. It's a technical marvel. That they made that game work on the NES is... impressive.
Fantastic.
The NES has 8 colors and Kirby has like 20. And it's got 3 save files, a bunch of levels.
Like a ton of different abilities a character can perform.
Lots of cool abilities.
It didn't even occur to me, like, in addition to all that, consider all the different sprites they had to do for the different powers.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But it's not very fun. I mean, it's not bad.
It's
just kind of boring because it's so easy.
I prefer Mega Man to Kirby.
So do I.
This
Kirby. One trumps technological wizardry.
It does, but technological wizardry is worth something, so...
I mean, Kirby Superstar I like better than the original Mega Man, although it's a toss-up between Superstar and X.
But we haven't played Superstar yet,
we haven't.
So we'll have to get that. All right, then the third and last thing we played before we started recording, Castlevania.
Is better than both of them.
I think it's my favorite NES game.
I can't think of one I like better offhand.
The music is great. The theming is perfect. The challenge is, if you want a platformer that is on the hard side, but is completely fair and just really good, like, Castlevania is my go-to.
I can't believe I hadn't played it before we started doing this. It's a good game.
It's really good. So it's going at the top, and it will be hard to dethrone, although I don't think it will stay there forever.
No, I think we've played better games than Castlevania, even though I liked it. Like Symphony of the Night, for example.
Yeah, that's a good example. Okay, first episode. Remember that? We played ActRaiser. ActRaiser, another game with a lot of good ideas. It's got this split between a platformer that's heavy on the action and like an RTS sort of game.
It's like a turn-based and real-time strategy.
I remember hearing Jeremy tell me about this game while we were working. It sounded cool.
It sounds so good.
It's basically a SimCity clone, but you're God and then you go and fight bad guys who are threatening your city.
You're like a Greek god. You're not like omnipotent, but...
It sounds like I'd probably prefer black and white, though.
That's not a game I've ever played, but it sounds good. It sounds like the same concept, but
you
better.
You play god, and you can pick people up and throw them over your wall.
The problem
get out of
is,
my city.
The city building is not as like good as SimCity, and while it does affect the platforming game, not in great ways, and the platforming is just not very good. The hit detection is wonky at best.
The jumps feel extremely rigid, and that's coming from someone who likes Castlevania.
Well, Castlevania, so, they feel
yeah, your monogamous jump arcs.
Enforced. Castlevania, though, like definitely feels like it's built for those jump arcs.
Yeah, and this game doesn't. This game feels like it should have a lot more like Mario floaty jumps to it, and it doesn't. Which is sad.
And the bosses are just unfun. Like, the strategy is usually hide in a corner where you can abuse and hit them.
Or with, like, the jumping rhino boss, just tank him.
So, like Kirby's Adventure, it's got some cool stuff going on, but it's not very fun. And I think it goes below Kirby's Adventure.
I have to agree with that. I think
okay.
It's the worst of the 4 games we've mentioned so far.
Just
so.
Like recording these episodes, we're in totes agreement land. All right.
Don't worry, there's a few more episodes where I'll start to throw in dissension, guys. Don't worry.
Next up,
thanks,
we
McCoy.
Have Sonic the Hedgehog, specifically the version on Sega Genesis.
I mean,
not the Master System, Tyler.
What? You made that mistake, yeah. Not him.
I thought you made it on Sonic 1 too.
No.
Oh, not the Master System, Zach.
Good job.
I mean, I liked Sonic the Hedgehog, but I also really disliked it. It is easily the worst of the Sonic games we played.
Nope.
Nope.
Not as bad as Sonic Chaos.
Have we played that?
Yes,
Which
we
one
did.
What was that?
That's the one that was on the Game Gear.
Was it the one with the rocket jet shoes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. This one's...
I don't remember that one.
We'll get there. You played it with us.
You did. It wasn't even that long ago.
I feel like it is a better game than ActRaiser, even if it's not as interesting.
ActRaiser is trying more, and I respect it for that. Sonic is, his main gimmick is acceleration, but they don't really use that. I shouldn't say they don't use that. It hurts the gameplay, because you want to run fast, but then the game is all about slow precision jumps.
Yeah.
And it does that thing where it doesn't kill you, it just lets you fall to 3 minutes ago of progress, which is basically the same, but...
You might as
feels
well kill
worse.
Yourself.
More annoying.
Vaguely related to this, if you ever go to VG Cats again in the futures, he's been playing a game recently that's very inspired by Sonic. It's got the really fast running and stuff, but it focuses first on being a competent platformer with places you can run if you're good enough at platforming.
Huh.
Which is,
a
lot better.
I like that idea. Okay, so you want to say better than ActRaiser?
I think it goes above ActRaiser. I think it's not quite as good as Kirby for me.
I'm fine with that. We will put it at currently number 4. Okay, next is a game that's going to be hard to rank.
It is. It's Harvest Moon. Have you ever played Harvest Moon, Zach?
He's played Harvest Moon 64, which is a much better version of Harvest Moon.
That is
I've
true.
Also played Harvest Moon on the PlayStation, which is Harvest Moon 64
on the PlayStation.
a bunch of the characters were changed, yeah, and it's been rebalanced a bit, but it's the same.
A different world map.
I feel like you would like Harvest Moon, but...
I like Rune Factory. What does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. So,
so Harvest Moon, the first game for this podcast I didn't beat.
You know, I really liked this game when I first played it, and I could not get through it when we played it for the podcast.
Playing Harvest Moon 64 really spoiled me on it, because it's just so much better.
I had recently come off of Rune Factory 4, whichever one I got loaned for the DS.
3.
Was it 3?
I think it was 2 or 3.
I had recently been playing that, and that does a lot of what Harvest Moon does, but more engage. There's a point to farming other than making money.
And the girls in this game, while they at least exist and you can get married, aren't that interesting.
Personality would be generous for what they have.
And, the N64 ones aren't great, but they're a lot better than in this.
Here, look at my dog.
Okay, that's a glitch at least.
I'm lazy, and that's usually what I end up doing.
Do you guys ever watch Peanut Butter Gamer?
No.
One of his favorite games for us is Harvest Moon, and there's one where he's like, I really regret being in this marriage. Her favorite gift is weeds. And he's like, actually, you know, maybe we can make this work. I like weeds. You like weeds. I can give you weeds.
Okay, so let's compare it to ActRaiser, because they both got that simulator element.
I think, honestly, as ambitious as ActRaiser is, I think it's more ambitious to make an engaging game about farming. So
you want to put it above ActRaiser?
I think I want to put it above ActRaiser.
My gut says that's true, too. Okay, Sonic the Hedgehog. Apples to goddamn oranges.
I don't know. I feel like they're roughly equivalent, but they're so different, it's hard to...
Going out the door test, if you've locked me in a room and said you have to play one of these...
I would play Harvest Moon. Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Kirby's Adventure.
So that's really hard for me to put. I actually enjoy Kirby's Adventure.
I'm willing to put it below Kirby's Adventure, if that's where you think it goes, between Kirby's Adventure and Sonic.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I definitely don't like it more than Kirby's Adventure, so there's that.
Okay. Between Kirby's Adventure and Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay, now we have one that's a contender for the top.
Finally.
Metroid. Another really good NES game. A game I played as a kid because my friend had it and I didn't and was always super jealous.
Me too, now that I remember it. I don't even remember his name.
A game that I think is very important as far as influence goes, because it's got multiple paths and sort of this maze. It's almost got an overworld map to it before there were overworld maps, since it's all one map that you're exploring.
I have enjoyed this game enough. I actually played it a couple times since we did it for the podcast. Also, it's one of those random ones that's sitting on my DS SD card right now, so...
Yeah, that helps. I put a lot of Galaga, just because it's
DS
on the DS. It doesn't have a map screen, and that's a technical limitation, so I don't want to knock it too much for it, but it hurts the game so much.
Then it definitely deserves the knock, technical limitation or not.
I mean, that is something they probably could have done. Speaking of technical limitations, some guy went and made an entire, like, 50-hour RPG on top of Final Fantasy VII that uses night and day mechanics with differing music for different tones.
That's cool.
Like, it is a more technically complex game than Final Fantasy VII using the exact same resources Final Fantasy VII had.
But with programming techniques that are...
That is true.
Did not exist then.
Doug, I'm going to point out in this, we've got technology sitting on the table right now, and the differences that we have come in the time frame.
That is true. I'm looking at the Game Boy and Zach's smartphone and the DS, and I actually think your smartphone wins out of these.
Well, that's because the smartphone can make calls, but that's kind of my point, is that
phone calls. But the thing is, if someone was trying to make a game for the Game Boy right now, which some people do because they find it fun, they could make a way better game than Pokemon Blue that's sitting in it.
I think that was the point that Jeremy was trying to make, is that we've learned how to program better.
Well, my point was just the way technology has gone.
That is true.
On top of learning how to program.
It's not only physical, it's also entirely soft.
Yeah.
Metroid's bosses are also kind of lame. I mean, they become cool. They're cool characters, but like Kraid shoots fingernails that you can't shoot through. And that's his thing. So let's start with Kirby's Adventure. Do you think it's better than Kirby's Adventure? Kirby's Adventure was a technical marvel. Metroid is maybe a design marvel.
If nothing else, I enjoyed Metroid more than Kirby's Adventure. I absolutely think it's a better game.
Okay, so better than Mega Man, which is a tight platformer. It's definitely got its flaws, too. Yellow Devil sucks. It's got a few like technical glitches.
You know, as much fun as Mega Man is, I don't think it's as good a game as Metroid, and I like them fairly equally.
Okay, so above Mega Man?
I think above Mega Man.
Are you going to try to tell me it's better than Castlevania?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So between Mega Man and Castlevania. Next, we have a contender for bottom of the list.
Oh. I was going to say just hands down it's better than ActRaiser, but I don't think so.
It's got a Bobo. Next up is Double Dragon. It's got a movie that's terrible. But it's got a gang member dressed up as a postman who goes, special delivery, airmail, and jumps at a guy and explodes. So,
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the game, but...
But it's a beat-em-up without co-op.
I mean, Double Dragon 2, at least we had more fun with. Was Double Dragon the first one, the one where we, like, wandered in and, like, are we in the Lost Woods?
Yeah, and it has that terrible music that it's like the music file corrupts itself after it loops the second time, and this goes and just assaults your ears.
In my adventures with chiptuning, I now know that's a thing, that you can forget to turn off a channel after you want a sound to be done, and it'll just keep playing.
Nice.
You
want to say worse than ActRaiser?
I want to say worse than ActRaiser.
ActRaiser has ambition, right? And their problems are sort of similar. I think I want to argue for above ActRaiser. I'm not saying you can't argue me below, but... Actually, you said below ActRaiser?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you. Why am I arguing? I'm terrible at this. Okay, and then contender for I don't even know. Final Fantasy.
Somewhere in the middle-ish.
Probably. Final Fantasy has good ideas. It's got a very ambitious story for an NES game. It's less ambitious than my first D&D campaign, but it's on an NES cart, so...
You know, it's good. My problem with Final Fantasy, in addition to the horrible combat, which, you know, it's a decent... It's like standard turn-based combat.
Just a second. Do you want to say something, Zach, since you were leaning up into the mic?
But it was a last-ditch try for Square Enix that clearly
It was
worked.
Their Final Fantasy.
I mean, it's got good elements. The fact that you get to choose 4 of 6 classes is cool.
That is actually pretty neat.
The fact that it uses the D&D daily spells is kind of cool.
From what you guys said, I kind of like the fact you can build your party.
Yeah,
I like that as an idea. Although remember, I have never actually played this game.
4 white mages for the win.
Similar to ActRaiser, though, it falls apart in execution because the load times in combat are so long you don't want to play it.
From a cartridge, I don't even know how they manage that.
They just have processor problems.
Actually, I think probably what happened, because it was their last game, they just threw together an engine and then never really had time or money to refine it.
Could
before
be.
Before publishing it.
Could be. So let's start at Harvest Moon. For some reason, that seems good to me.
I mean, I feel like it's better than Sonic, so.
Okay. Well, do you think it's better than Harvest Moon? Because it's, you know, got the combat, it's got more of a story, it's kind of got more choice.
It changed the face of gaming, really. So.
So you want to put it above Harvest Moon?
I think I want to put it at least above Harvest Moon.
So Kirby's Adventure, a technical marvel next to a game with a lot of technical problems. Final Fantasy is more ambitious, but I don't know if I think it's more fun. And while Kirby's choice is not as long-term, you don't pick a party and outfit them, the power-ups are cool, and they are sort of a choice.
although there are definitely better power-ups than others.
Well, yeah.
But I think I kind of agree with that. I have a hard time saying that it's worse than Kirby's Adventure, but I had, as much as I liked Final Fantasy and kept telling myself I was going to finish it, I never actually did.
Yeah.
And I've played Kirby's Adventure at least once.
So between Kirby's Adventure and Harvest Moon?
I think so.
All right, now a game that Zach probably has some opinion on. Game that, like, when I was making my ranking columns, I wanted dead in the middle, and it trended way higher than
That's
I
wanted
it to.
That's because it's better than the average game we've played for the podcast.
And I think, honestly, it's better than the average game, but it's so baseline for me that I don't feel like it should be.
There should be a significant spike in game quality when the ones that I started picking come up.
We'll see. Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked it to death.
I don't want to say perfect, because I don't quite believe that, but it's so simple and so elegant. It's a more civilized video game for a more civilized age.
It did a lot of things that were really helpful, really easy to get, really easy to understand, but it didn't really excel anywhere.
It's a pretty good platformer. I mean, I know you don't like platformers, but in some ways that makes you worse at judging them, because you just don't like them in general, so while you definitely can tell some are better than others, Tyler and I have a much more refined palate, if you will, for platformers, it's a good one.
I kind of agree with Zach, though. I don't know that it excels anywhere. It just...
I wasn't trying to knock it.
It's a good game.
It's a platformer.
It's extremely solid.
The difficulty curve ramps up appropriately, from what I can remember. I was never very good at it.
No, it's pretty good.
It's easy to tell how close you are to being dead, what you can do.
Enemies that hurt you when you jump on them are obvious, because they have spikes.
But outside of that, I don't know that it really excels anywhere. I mean, clearly it's the best game that I've played
I want to say it excels by... It excels in a way that's hard to see. I'm trying to think of a good analogy.
It excels
in
a vacuum.
Okay, no, it's not that. It does. It's the argument that Forrest Gump won the special effects award. And Forrest Gump doesn't have any, like, explosions or really cool... Like, you know, it's not Star Wars. It doesn't have cool stuff going on. But Lieutenant Dan is played by an actor who's not paralyzed and has legs. But, you know, it's seamless. He looks like a guy whose legs are blown off. It's perfect in that way. It's perfect in all these ways that are so simple you don't remark on them. But when you play any game that doesn't have them, like ActRaiser, you feel the hell out of it.
That is true. The jumps are, I mean, man.
And the way running works in that game.
Just in general is nice.
I mean, like I said, I want it to be dead middle. But I think it's deceptively not. Even if we were playing a better selection of games, I think it would trend not to, you know, top tier, but like top 30%.
I mean, it's certainly not Super Mario Brothers 3. So.
Maybe if you went for purely the stuff on the NES or Super NES, it would trend more towards the top 30%. But with the way games went,
yeah. In retrospect,
now it's pretty. It's
simple.
It compares worse.
But I think if this is a better game than Flappy Bird, right? So if, like, the guy had made this game and released it the way Flappy Bird happened, I think it would be just as big a deal. And I don't want to knock Flappy Bird. I think it's a fine game. It's popular for a reason, but it's that sort of game. It's very simple. And that simple games aren't bad, I don't think. But we need to kind of rank it, so.
Definitely better than Sonic.
Let's start with Mega Man, actually, because I didn't play the Mega Man games as a kid. I played the hell out of Mario Brothers.
I'm going to step away now.
Yeah, because you don't have things to compare it to, unfortunately.
I mean, clearly, it was the platformer.
Clearly, number one.
Clearly. It was the platformer all other platformers were trying to be at one point.
I feel like Mega Man, just like with the Buster Gun, like, and the different power-ups, exceeds it. I'm willing to argue that it goes above Mega Man because it...
I do want to chime in here. I kind of agree with Jeremy. Having more options that Mega Man can bring you. I mean, Mario, you're either jumping on somebody or you have a fire flower.
And Mario,
that's
like
not
I
a
said,
lot of options.
It's deceptively perfect. Mario's physics work better. The jumps are better.
Yeah, the fact that you have momentum in Mario is pretty neat.
But I like Mega Man more because of the extra stuff.
And I have to agree with that. Mega Man is a solid platformer. It's a lot of fun still. So.
I think it has to go above Kirby's Adventure, though.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because I like Kirby's Adventure more because I have a soft spot for Kirby, but I think Mario is probably a better game.
Okay.
It does a way better telegraphing, if nothing else, and it's more interesting. Kirby's Adventure is kind of boring. It's too easy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, another contender for the top.
Oh my.
Gradius. The shmup that none of the other ones we've played are ever going to live up to.
I mean, is it really more of a shmrite? Because
okay,
you shoot him right.
Okay. shoot 'em ups are like, there's very religious wars about whether right scrolling ones or up scrolling ones are better, but they're both adopted as being part of the genre. Like, Gradius is just really good. I really don't, we pronounce it wrong. It's Gradius, but.
Is it?
It's a corruption of the word Gladius.
Okay. I can see that.
Like, that's objectively true.
Although,
but
isn't that pronounced Gladius?
The weapon? I'm pretty sure it's a Gladius.
Okay, phonetically in English it should be Gladius, but it's not an English word, so it's a good game. It's probably
the
my favorite shooter.
The options are really
replay.
Cool, the upgrade system is just perfect.
I would say that it's perfect, except Gradius 3, which we haven't played for the podcast, does a way better job of it.
And it has a big problem in that if you die once, you lose your power-ups, so you might as well just kill yourself the other two times and start over.
Yeah, it does definitely have a...
Because the power vacuum is so big.
A grinding thing. But, I mean, I play this game at least once a month since having...
Okay, and I've not played Castlevania that much. So I think we started at the top. Is it better than Castlevania? I want to say no. I think Castlevania is better constructed. The power-ups in Castlevania, we didn't even touch on, they're also good.
They are. They're made for very specific situations. They are. When you need them.
They're both well-crafted and difficult in very good ways, but I think Castlevania, at least for me, is the better one. And Castlevania, I feel, has better theme. Gradius is yet another space shooter. Castlevania has that great B-movie theme. You fight Dracula and Frankenstein.
I had more fun with... This is, feels so wrong to say it this way. I had more fun with Gradius. But I think I agree with you. I think Castlevania is the better game. I think it's better than Metroid, though. So.
Oh, Mega Man, or Metroid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Gladius, by the way, according to Wiktionary.
Okay. I kind of want to argue that Metroid is a more complicated game that brought more to future games. It's also got a really good theme with the alien ripoff. I don't know if I can convince you that Metroid is better than Gradius.
My problem with Metroid, by comparison, is that Metroid had too many mechanical problems with it. It was way too easy to get lost, even if you were making your own map. I feel like the enemies were fairly...
This is all fair. I will give it to you. Gradius will go under Castlevania at number 2, above Metroid.
I mean, I do really like Metroid. Certainly Super Metroid, I think, is better than Gradius.
And we will get there.
Gradius!
All right, next up, Legend of the Mythical Ninja.
Mythical or mystical?
I think it's mystical, and I write mythical.
I mean, they're very similar.
We will fix it when we post the list.
A game that was lost in translation.
And its sequel is, again, so much better, because it has the giant robot Power Rangers fight at the beginning, where you sing the theme
so
song.
Much.
Legend of the Mystical Ninja, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up with a very Japanese culture theme.
Is it side-scrolling? I thought it was, like, vaguely overhead.
I mean, it's sort of adventure-y. You can go up, and, like I say, side-scrolling, there's a lot of platforming
in
it.
It's also got Gradius in it. So
it's got 2-player co-op and some cool co-op moves. You can do like piggybacks and stuff. Yeah.
And Jeremy and I played like probably an hour and a half, 2 hours of this together.
I think a little more of it. We got pretty into it. It's not a great game.
It's amusing. I don't know that I ever really had as much fun with it as I would have had with a better game.
And I think a lot of the fun came from us hanging out together.
Yeah.
Which hurts a lot of the co-op beat-em-ups. So where do we want to start? Let's start with Sonic. It's pretty low. Do you like it more than Sonic?
I'm not sure I do, actually.
I'm a little torn on it.
I certainly like Harvest Moon, which is our game currently above Sonic, more than I like Mystical Ninja.
Okay.
But I'm not sure whether it should go above or below Sonic.
I kind of feel like just the co-op handicap should put it below Sonic. I feel a little bad doing it, but a lot of the fun was you and I making fun of the weird culture.
Yeah.
So better than ActRaiser, do you want to say? Again, ActRaiser tried a lot of stuff. It's tended to fail.
Yeah, and I do like ActRaiser as a concept, at least. I'm not super fond of this incarnation of Mystical Ninja, because there's not really, like, a whole lot going on.
So, below ActRaiser and above Double Dragon, then?
Easily above Double Dragon.
Yeah.
That is such a
I know
what
game
jump.
Is going to beat that. There are a couple. I know which one is going to be first.
Well, that goes below Double Dragon?
Yes. All right. Next up, last one before Zach joined us, Gunstar Heroes. Another game with the co-op factor. This might be the first one we really argue about.
Yeah, because I like it a lot more than you do.
So. A lot more. It's a 2-player gun game. You have various different weapons that kind of combine, like fire and laser. Gives you a fire laser. You fight like a Ginyu Force type of enemy squad. Are they like Ginyu Force, or did we just name them like the Ginyu Force after condiments?
I
remember there being like a General Mustard.
No, they're named after colors.
Oh, okay.
There's like pink, black, yellow, and I think you called the yellow mustard because he was definitely mustard yellow.
Okay, I believe that.
as far as side-scrolling beat-em-ups go, I think it's easily our best side-scrolling beat-em-up, if only because it has combining gun powers.
I like Legend of the Mystical Ninja more. I feel like the shop system makes it more interesting, the fact that you're saving currency and using it as... Really, I don't like Gunstar Heroes very much. Also, Gunstar has this, like I said, this Genesis problem where there are all these flashy colors going on, and the controls are just a little off, so it's really easy to lose track of what's going on
it
in the pretty colors.
From some loose-ish controls. I make the argument for Gunstar Heroes over Legend of Mystical Ninja for its variation of ability, if nothing else.
Okay, it does have different combos.
You have both melee and range weapons, and your range weapons can come in, I think, 16 different varieties, whereas Mystical Ninja, you basically jump and smack with pipe.
Okay, I'll give you it's above Legend of Mystical Ninja. What about ActRaiser? Again, ActRaiser was trying things.
I like Gunstar Heroes. I don't know that I can convince you that it's better than ActRaiser.
Are you going to try? Because I do have to play moderator to a certain degree and
I'm not allowed to. I'm not sure I can formulate an argument that it is better than ActRaiser. Because ActRaiser is not a terrible game.
All right, between ActRaiser and Legend, going once, going twice.
Nice, sold.
All right. Next up. The first episode we had Zach on, Ogre Battle, March of the Black Queen. So that's a good time to take a break.
See you next week, Zach.
Yeah, we will be back next week with episode 100, part 2, which should get
we're not
going right to
call
into
it 101.
No, it's going to be episode 100, part 2. And it'll be part 3, depending on how long we take to rake the rest of these 90 other games.
For your viewing or listening pleasure, we've gotten through, what, 13?
Yes, exactly 13.
Of our 100, or 99, I guess?
It's a little more than that, because we had a couple double episode weeks, or double game weeks.
Are we including the bonus episode games like Animal Crossing in there?
I did put that one in there.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure, actually. I think I did, though. So next time on Last Time, more lists.
Yay, lists.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast.
Yes, you make my wife drink, you asshole.